everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Back with you with, well, we haven't done one of these in a while, but another world building episode this week. Mm-hmm. As you can hear, I'm joined by Eden. How's it going?
Hello, hello.
Today we are going to be talking about, well, a place that we've kind of sort of already approached and gotten to in our game episodes recently, which is the capital city of Valana, of Valane. Obviously, there at the moment, fully in the Opera House in our current storyline. But yeah, I figured this would be a fun time to sort of flesh out the city itself a little bit more. We've kind of had some vague descriptions. I think would be the best way to describe how I've talked about it in episodes. But yeah, just to sort of a bit of an exploration of what I've got in mind for the city, and we can come up with some fun stuff for that as well. I figured that would be today's plan.
Indeed, we'll fill in the gaps.
Yeah. Well, I've already actually gotten a World Anvil page kind of up and published for it. It's about the level of detail I think that I've given in descriptions in the episode, basically. Mm-hmm. So a lot of room for expansion, but essentially. It's a name that I've been kicking around on the map since my first very early incarnation of the map, like, oh, I don't know, 7-8 years. Well, God, we're nearly at 7 years of the podcast, aren't we? If not more. Yeah. But it's been kicking around since my earliest sort of incarnation of my map, when it was just a dot on the map in pencil sort of thing. But essentially, as the capital city, this is my idea. Like, this is basically the only city in the land with, like, sort of modern numbers of people. I've written, like, 750,000 people live there on my World Anvil page. That, I think, has changed a couple of times in my notes. Mm-hmm. But that was sort of, it's gone up and down. Like, at one point, I was like, yeah, there's a million people live there. But then I was like, well, it was still kind of in the fantasy-ish setting. What does a city of a million people look like in that kind of sort of thing? I mean,
I mean, I feel like it's a viable thing to get to that kind of scale when you've got things like magic and like the abilities that people have and the way that the world kind of operates. Kind of, I feel like magnitude of scale would be possible. It would just mean that you'd have to do a lot of thinking about, like, there'd have to be magical guilds, there'd have to be a lot of kind of amplification of people's trades almost.
Yeah. Food production, I think, is the thing that immediately comes to mind as, like, we need to, that's, at a certain scale, you need, you know, it's just got to be forever expanding, really, doesn't it? You know,
pretty much.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm thinking in terms of, like, oh, there's a couple of spells that do generate meals and stuff, but then to have that number of spellcasters of power would be, yeah, that's a quite a lot of organizational stuff, and the potential for, especially if everybody's wielding magical power.
Well, and that would sort of change the vibe of our whole setting, really, if it was like that, you know, because we'd be kind of inventing a whole class of wizards who, you know, who are constantly there making food and things, which I don't think is...
I'm just speculating.
Yeah, no,
my mind goes to, like, the history that we've set out of, like, there was a time of great powers of wizardry and all that kind of stuff. So maybe back then, maybe something like that existed, but that's not now.
I mean, 750,000, like I say, is the number I kind of landed on, that to me was like, well, we do have a whole country here. I mean, there's other cities, obviously, in that as well, but, like, it is a lot of land. Conceivably, there could be enough food produced there between, like, regular farming and fishing and occasional magic help to all of it. You know, that I think that's, you know, that's for a capital city, that's a sort of reasonable amount of people. Because we've been sort of vague about, like, how advanced certain things are. I know over the years, as we've been kind of bringing new things into the setting, like, I think in my mind it's become more Discworldy at the very least, which has meant I've sort of ended up, I don't know, like, certain things, technologies and stuff have kind of crept in a little bit that maybe aren't traditional sort of pure, like, medieval fantasy. Like, in my head, the dwarves have got, you know, they've kept quiet about it, but we've already kind of established that they've got steam engines. Mm-hmm. At least in
I kind of like that mix of tech and fantasy in that respect, though, because it kind of infers, like, there's always going to be intellect, and really, like, the extension of intellect is technology in many respects. So for that to exist alongside magic, which feels more like, in many respects, aside, I suppose it depends on how the magic is taught or how the wizard or sorcerer draws their power, but that feels more like a feeling that's drawing something unseeable from the world somehow.
Mm.
Where, like, yeah, it's more of an intuitive power than a logical thinking ability.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a conscious thing for me. It's just one of those things where I think when we started playing, it was pretty much like, oh, we're just playing in like the Forgotten Realms. It's, you know, but like it's our own map sort of vibe. But so it's kind of mostly just sort of medieval type fantasy kind of, you know, field, like standard D&D and that. And then mm-hmm. Through all of these, we've kind of certain things have crept in and stuff, and it's yeah, made me sort of need to sort of reevaluate, sort of like, okay, well, how behind the scenes, how is this world functioning, kind of thing. Which is a long way of saying, like, it's, I think I'm happy with 750,000 people being able to live there and be fed normally without having to kind of completely upend the world of like, well, no, we need to have lots of food produced by magic and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and things. Yeah. And yeah, my main sort of way in my head that I've got the city structured, I mean, we ran into this in the game, is that the sort of greater Varlanae area itself is sort of enclosed in this big defensive curtain wall, one of the entrances being Westgate, where you all came into the city in the recent episodes. But within that wall, there is a large amount of farmland sort of on the kind of outskirts. In case of siege, at least they can keep producing some food. And then the kind of city proper is on the coastline, which is sort of, I mean, the greater area is not a huge amount bigger than the main city, but it's just enough to kind of hear some extra, in case of emergency, farmland kind of thing, so we're not 100% starving all the time kind of thing.
Well, with it being on the ocean as well, or the sea,
yeah,
I could imagine the fishing industry would be a major part of the city's sort of breadbasket, so to speak.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it being on the coast is not... There's no need for, like, all the food to be trucked in, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plus, food would kind of, I suppose, it being a trade hub, the trade hub for the country, then food's going to make its way there. Like, it makes sense that it would just grow and grow and grow.
Yeah. But, oh, that's the idea, anyway. So, yeah, there's kind of three main gates kind of into this greater area. The West Gate, which we've seen in the game. South Watch and East View, and so that it's not so obvious what I've done there, there's an E between East and View on it. But the other smaller gates here and there around it, but those are the three that are kind of like most guarded and kind of main entrance ways into the area. But the main sort of city itself is quite densely sort of built up, I think, at least the central districts are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sort of... Well, let's introduce what we've kind of seen so far. So all of our action that we've kind of had so far has been around an area called the Square of Heroes. I don't have a map of the city itself, which has not helped matters, really, because I haven't got something I can point to. That's something I've been meaning to do for quite a while, and I just haven't done.
It's a fair job getting those kinds of things together.
Yeah, it's so, one thing doing my, like, world, you know, world map kind of thing, because I've done that from, like, a sort of piece together through from like sketches and then patching in like satellite photography of the countryside and mountains and things, and, you know, making a mosaic in Photoshop. But a city's another matter.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, there need to be like obvious routes and tributaries and that kind of stuff through the place.
Like, yeah, so I can't just like drop a lot of building textures down and go like, there you go, that's good enough. Well, you know, I could do that, but like it's not what I want. I may end up doing something like that, but I haven't got a sketch to work from at the moment, really. But most of, as I say, most of what we've kind of run into so far has been around the Square of Heroes, which in my head is kind of like a sort of Trafalgar Square, but like Trafalgar Square meets Times Square meets Red Square, I guess, kind of. Like big, like sort of, it's an open area in the center of the city where a lot of like important things are found, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit touristy. There's a lot of, there's, you know, giant fountain in the middle of it and everything, and it's called the Square of Heroes. There's all these statues on plinths around it and such. And but I figured we could start there and kind of work outwards. I guess that would be a way to go on this. What do you think? As that's the one place we've sort of been.
Yeah, let's figure out what's connected to it and where you can come and go to.
I've got some names, but also we should say we definitely know a couple of things that are on the square itself. We've got the Opera House, which we're currently in game. We've got Central Watch House or something. It was something like that, wasn't it?
Something along those lines. Yeah.
I think it probably ought to come up with a better name for that, really. You know, but like,
yeah, structure wise, figuring out how many watch houses, how far apart, that kind of thing, perhaps.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a big police station there, which you've also been to. I have mentioned before there is the headquarters of the Explorers Guild is on the square itself, which is sort of been mentioned in passing. I've mentioned it in passing as we've been there recently, but the Explorers Guild itself came up when we did the three-part kind of mountaineering adventure. Mm-hmm. Thing a couple of years back. But yeah, the sort of concept of the Explorers Guild kind of got brought in, but at least, you know, mentioned and introduced, because the NPC character that Amy and Dragon's characters were going on an adventure with was basically looking to make his name so he could join the Explorers Guild, was the, mm-hmm. the sort of conceit of that story. In my head, there's kind of another, you know, there's a few more important buildings around the square itself, but in passing, I mentioned there was a big department store, mostly as a joke, because
I was going to say there was the mention of like the potential to buy clothes. So
the idea of like
Italia somewhere,
yeah, like an equivalent of like a Harrods or something like that, I think would fit in the setting quite well.
Where all the rich folk come and shop.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I said, the longer we've gone, the more Discworldy this the setting has gotten, really. So sort of more kind of nods and winks to like real life kind of institutions and things is all good with me, kind of thing. Like we don't need to come up with a name for it now, but I mean it was really only mentioned as like a in passing as a joke because Booga needed a jacket, maybe. But having like a sort of it's another reason for people to come here of like, hell, here's this, you know, here's this shopping emporium that they've got all these things we can't see elsewhere, and like, oh, look, it's a big building. And yeah, I don't know, that's kind of something I think, you know, would be quite fun to put in the setting, even if we never go there.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that the best fiction reflects aspects of real life, whether it be in a humorous respect or otherwise, but yeah.
I'll sort of throw out some names then of other things I've gotten, yeah, other districts that are sort of in the city itself, and we can sort of see if anything kind of grabs us. And the main kind of, I'd say the main, the kind of important one to sort of how the city is built is the Overlook District.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, the city is kind of built around the foot of a sort of promontory that sort of sticks out into the sea a little bit, a kind of essentially like it's like it's at the foot of a mountain. It's not like as tall as a mountain, but like all the hoi polloi and the royal palace and everything is on the top of this hill that sticks out into the sea, and the rest of the city is kind of down around one side of it.
Yeah, I can picture this.
Yeah, that's why I've called it the Overlook. Like, not quite as dramatic as maybe the what's it called, Solitude in Skyrim or anything like that, in terms of like how high, you know.
Yeah, because that's quite a, like, I mean, it's a massive pillar connected to the actual rest of the city that's up that big hill, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not quite. I'm just trying to think of an example that I could give that isn't too local for anyone else, but I can't think of one, so I'm just going to say in this area it would be like if all the rich people's houses in the Royal Palace were on top of Hangersbury Head and the rest of the city was built where Christchurch Harbour is, if yep. that makes yep. sense.
really.
There's some names there people can Google.
Like in the schemes of like medieval thinking and everything, it's the most defensible position to be in. It's the safest place.
Yeah, it's a little bit kind of Motton Bailey, like put the important people up high where it's tougher to lay siege to. Mm-hmm. Perhaps somewhere in the midst of time, that was like why it was built like that kind of thing. Maybe the Royal Palace originally was the fortress on the hill. And over the centuries, it's become just the palace on the hill. And then the rich people have built up their compounds around it, mm-hmm. sort of thing. And everybody else is down below.
Yeah, just a natural progression to that point where one day it's just a city.
Yeah.
It started out as a camp. And, yep, however many centuries later.
Mm. So, yeah, the palace is in the Overlook District. Again, I haven't got a map, so I haven't really got the scales worked out, but this being like the king's palace and everything, it's quite large. I think we could probably say it's got, you know, it's got palace grounds, it's got a bit, you know, so it could probably be like half of this promontory is taken up by the royal palace and its associated grounds and buildings. Yeah, that's sort of like the primary residence of the rulers, you know, so it's, I feel like, ought to be, you know, a bit of a Buckingham Palace plus the park area around it sort of feel. I don't know what to add, if anything, to the Overlook District at the moment, other than like, you know, just to say like, to use it as like a setting the scene, here's the structure, that's the hill sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm just on that thought, and having mentioned magic users and stuff, not that this is leaning towards that particular idea, but like there's going to be some folks in the city presumably, and they would tend to live in the upper class area. Do you think there might be a wizard's tower or something like that?
Definitely we do have the Arcanium's headquarters in the city.
Memory's terrible for these things.
I haven't really set these things out in like a kind of like this is here, this is here, this is here sort of way. In my head there's the temple district and the kind of Arcanium and the university. Three kind of like sort of seats of learning and worship that are in my head quite close to the bottom of the promontory. Mm-hmm. And then so you sort of have to go through the temple district to go up into the you know, the hoi polloi area, but the wizards and the regular people of learning are also in that kind of like just at the foot of the hill kind of area.
Yeah, I think that makes sense as well, in terms of like, they're almost like a barrier of sorts between the upper and the lower, and they would serve a function in that like these would be probably teachers and to some extent defenders, like the not magicians, but the wizards and magic users tend to be the types that are like very involved with local events.
Hmm.
Unless they're going to be the type that's up in the top of the tower studying his scrying ball or whatever, like
pondering their orbs,
the alternative version of the hermit wizard.
Yeah. the upper levels wizard. Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, I even had a name for it. The Ascension Spires is where the sort of headquarters of the Arcanium, which we've sort of already talked about, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if that had its own other episode or we definitely talked about it. But yeah, it's sort of the official magical organization. And like, that's not to say every wizard, you know, definitely not every wizard in the kingdom falls under it, but they are this is the place to go to learn it kind of thing. Yeah,
that's the authority.
Yeah, they're the authority, and you know, they've got a lot of, they own a lot of stuff, including, you know, this Ascension Spires, which is, I don't know, in my head, it's like a kind of tower. It's not a single tower. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I don't know, it would stand out on a skyline kind of thing of like, that looks a bit, it's like as clearly like, well, this doesn't make sense architecturally, like how is this being held up sort of thing.
That's a very quirky building over there.
Yeah. I don't know whether in my head I'm kind of thinking of, what was it called, I don't know the name, but like that sort of outsider art sort of weird kind of three towers like of metal kind of thing. I can't remember the name of it. It's not actually a building, but it's like a sort of spiraling kind of trio of metal things, but yeah, that might have been... Let me see if I can find a photo.
I mean, in my mind, when you're saying spires and stuff and unusual architecture, and it's one of the most famous buildings in the world, I think, but Neuschwanstein Castle, is that in any way like what's in your mind? Any part of that? Or like a version of that's a bit kind of like a bit more extravagant?
It wasn't, but that's like a good thought. Here we go. So this is what I was thinking of. I'm just going to send this to you in a private message. The Watts Towers was sort of what I was thinking of.
They're in Grand Theft Auto, and I immediately recognized them from playing it so much.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I'm not saying... obviously, they're not a building.
Yeah, yeah. But they are kind of inexplicable.
Yeah, inexplicable sort of like... It would stand out kind of thing. Like, so maybe that, but like on a huge scale, and like it's actually... Each of the things are actually flaws in the towers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it almost looks like somebody just plopped like an alien kind of city into the middle of the city sort of thing. And like, that is the, yeah, if anybody wants to Google it, the Watts Towers in, where are they? Are they in LA? Yeah, they are.
Yes, yeah, they're in LA.
That's kind of what I had in mind. That mixed with like a, yeah, I don't know, I guess like kind of a bit like Stargate Atlantis sort of tower.
I never watched Atlantis.
You never watched Atlantis? It's pretty good. but yeah, that's sort of what I had in mind. But the idea of like the German castle, that's...
Well, if you kind of fuse the aesthetics of the Watts Towers and kind of maybe try and meld that in your mind, like that's what I'm doing. Okay, that is a combination. Like, yeah, there's elements of this that look like, yeah, that's a building in the traditional sense, but everything about the way that it's composed and it's like architecture itself has that kind of extra oddity from the Watts Tower kind of thing. Like this, I guess it'd be spines and ribs of like not necessarily metal, but perhaps even something that looks a bit kind of crazy, like not crystals perhaps, but like parts of it could look like it's made out of jade or minerals that shouldn't necessarily be used for building structures, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like it fully stands out from everything around it because it's like, you look at it and go like, well, one, you wouldn't build anything like that if you didn't have magic, and two, like, we wouldn't build like anything like that if you had any kind of taste or something. But the wizards are just like, we need a tower, let's get crazy, you know.
I can imagine it being like every generation of wizards who have a sort of like, oh, I need a new office, and then they'll magically add a little bit to the building, and that's their little bit. And it might have to be kind of vaguely in keeping, but that's why there's odd bits and pieces all over the place kind of a thing.
Or even just like, I need a bit more room in my office, I'm just going to extend it 20 feet that way, and it's no big deal because they can just be like, do it with magic. But then from the outside, you end up with this kind of like weird kind of spiky, bobbly sort of construct, which really doesn't make a lot of sense, but somehow is still standing.
It's totally in line with the Discworld type thing, but I could totally like that would happen, and then the sun would cross the sky the next day, and somebody's house would be in the shade all of a sudden at a weird time of day. And they'd look up and be like, hang on, that wasn't
there yesterday. It is a bit Unseen University, I will say that, but that's a heavy influence anyway, I think, on
And why not?
Yeah.
Pratchett deserves to have his ideas echo out through time for a while,
I think. He's the best for a reason.
Absolutely.
Everything's a riff off of Discworld at some level, I think. Fully admit to like this one thing at the very least being like, well, no, this is just my version of Unseen University kind of thing. So in contrast to that, though, we also have the regular university, which, again, you guys very fairly early on ran into a professor from that university when you were you found the tomb of Grazak. He was being held hostage by the cult of the Bleeding Eye.
Long ago at this point.
This was 6 years ago at this point, so I'll forgive you for not remembering the details. We have, again, that fairly early on I sort of established, yeah, there's also a, you know, there's a regular university that isn't magic. In fact, even earlier than that, the father of the guy who was taking the children in the first in the very first story arc of the podcast, his father was a university professor, I think it was briefly mentioned in conversation.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that dates way back to the origins of the entire thing we've been doing.
It does. I can't remember what I did last week, but I can remember that being in conversation. So I think in contrast, this would be more of like a traditional sort of university district. And I don't know whether maybe... Do you think maybe they're separated? Like, they wouldn't just back onto each other.
No, I think that... Okay, I kind of like the idea that there'd be some kind of, like, not necessarily overt, but some kind of rivalry. Mm. Some sense of, like, there's the crazy building, and on the other side is, yes, it's an architectural marvel, but it's all done with engineering.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. You look at it, and you're like, yeah, that's a good, solid building.
It's a traditional higher seat of learning. People come here to learn sensible things like architecture and history, and none of this time manipulation and throwing fireballs, things like that. That stuff's crazy. We're here to learn the facts of the matter.
Like senior professors from the main university standing out and looking at the Arcane University and just being like, oh, that's stupid. That bit over there, as soon as the spell fails, that's going to fall off. Oh, then you remember when that wizard left and he forgot that he did set that thing up? As soon as he got out of the range of the bloody thing, it blew up.
The spell faded. I think, well, yeah, that, as funny as that is, maybe we can sort of say that that doesn't happen too often, because maybe the university, what do we call them? The Arcane Spires or the Ascension Spires. That's it. The wizard one is maybe so saturated in magic at this point that alterations to the building just seem to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like it in terms of like it characterizes a kind of subtle rivalry of like our way of thinking is better.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't rely upon these things that will fade in time. Like my architecture will outlive me by centuries.
We built this with stone that we paid for to be quarried from a particular place, and it's going to stand the test of time. We didn't just magic it into existence. So maybe, okay, well, maybe we put the temple district in between the two of them then.
Yeah, that again, a good mediator, a good barrier zone, culturally. Yeah,
because then the wizards have then also got that's another person to have a rivalry with is the clerics. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is the temple. I've actually got it just called Temple District. I don't have much written about it, if anything. It's sort of a kind of... I don't know. A lot of the larger religious institutions kind of have their cathedrals and big things. This being the most popular city, you know, this is almost the de facto like headquarters of a lot of these religions. Mm-hmm. Is here as well. In fact, specifically, I think for one of the the World Anvil challenges, we wrote the Cathedral of the Platinum Dragon. Or at least I did. Here we go. Yeah, Summer Camp 2019. Write about a ceremony you're building in your world and what takes place there was the prompt for the Cathedral of the Platinum Dragon as the headquarters of Bahamut, the priesthood of Bahamut. I've also, this is, doesn't appear anywhere else, I've got the Square of the Almighty in the Temple District. But no, I've opened this one up.
Uh-huh.
So that's another detail, I guess. There's a square in the temple. I mean, it makes sense. You know, it's a whole...
Well, I mean, would it be then like the religious variant of the Square of Heroes, where this is the statues of the various deities of the land and what have you?
I think so, yeah. It's kind of, rather than like the Square of Heroes... I think Square of Heroes is maybe bigger in terms of like a wide open space and everything. But mm-hmm. this square is sort of almost like you can turn around and be like... That's the Cathedral of the Platinum Dragon. That's the Temple of Lathander. That's, you know, that's sort of, you can turn any direction and there's a different deity's kind of headquarters. I mean, obviously, some of the smaller ones are not going to be on the square itself and mm-hmm. such, because it, you know, is a district rather than just like one square, I think. But like the idea of like, well, no, this has been, maybe there was some proclamation back in the day of like, this whole part of the city has been given over to those of faith to you know, save the souls or do whatever, you know.
Yeah,
so some grand thing like that. I mean, this is not to say that that's the only place within the city where there's places of worship, because you know, there's going to be churches throughout and things, I would imagine, and
possibly even some clandestine cults operating somewhere.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've got our full range of gods, and I'd imagine some of them aren't going to have a big public church.
Yeah, there's some of them that you don't want to be known for worshipping, I would expect.
I feel like we've got the church of the God of Murder is probably not on the square itself. Yeah, I mean, we've got, you know, all the sort of fairly upstanding ones. Like I say, Bahamut's the God of Justice and Life, so that's a big one, you know, and that. But we've got ones like the Goddess of Fate and Goddess of Trade and things like that. You know, they're, you know, ones that you can imagine being like, okay, well, this makes sense to have this. But then it's also the Goddess of Disease and Poison probably doesn't have a big, or maybe probably doesn't have a big following, but definitely doesn't have a nice calming temple in the middle of the city.
Certainly not.
You know, some of them are a little bit more kind of, I don't know, probably not very urban. They're like the God of the Hunt we've got. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's the kind of thing where, like, the God of the Hunt might have like a very small statue to represent them, like in a trading area where, like, the huntsmen would come in and drop off their like kills and what have you, and sell them on, and that they might have some minor thing that represent, like, this is the place where we go.
Yeah,
give a nod to the statue as you walk past, but the likes of a huntsman's not really going to stop and do anything more than that. I wouldn't have thought.
For sure, yeah. And the elves have their own pantheon of gods as well, so perhaps this being like a primarily human city, because the elves have got their own major cities within the forests, perhaps there is like a sort of elven enclave which is just like the temple of the Seldarine, and the Dark Seldarine are the elven gods. Perhaps there's just like a temple of the Seldarine pantheon or something for any visiting elves can come and, you know, it's sort of almost like a temple of a bunch of shrines, but obviously the main places for worship for them are not going to be in a human city, so this is more just like for those who want to observe while they're here,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, it makes sense for there to definitely be like a variety of different things like that.
Yeah but I like the idea of like having the temple district in between the wizards and the wizards and the students sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah, like I say, as mediators, that's ideal.
And maybe even actually, like, with the... I mean, we haven't got, like, a layout written or anything, but the main kind of equivalent of, like the Mall in London or whatever that leads up to the Buckingham Palace, maybe the main kind of, like, ceremonial sort of boulevard or whatever goes through the Temple District up to the Overlook District, to the, you know, to the palace sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so this is like a prestigious kind of sort of right of way or whatever, you know, goes through the temple, you know, sort of giving it that sort of prominence of like big matters of state. You know, the king would come down to the, you know, the temple of choice or whatever, which I think I'm leaning on Bahamut being the sort of, not state religion, but like it's, you know, with it being sort of justice and life, you know, it's a big one sort of thing. The equivalent, I'm trying to sort of put in here an equivalent of like St. Paul's Cathedral or Westminster Abbey kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe that boulevard continues on and joins onto the Square of Heroes sort of thing. I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
We're not making a map today. I'm just kind of in terms of like,
yeah, that's where I'm kind of like in my mind's eye, I'm trying to like put this together, but I'm like, oh no, too nebulous.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that's sort of an idea. Like, so the temple district kind of has this sort of prominence of like, you know, it's a very important place for a lot of different religions and things and everything, but also it's kind of got this pride of place of like connection with the royal palace and things. And so the actual, going back to the Overlook district, you know, all the kind of rich people houses and that have sort of sprang out from the sides of this sort of main thoroughfare, but on the hillside of it, kind of thing. Or I don't know, or maybe at some point it was like, no, we need to make a, you know, a bunch of stuff was mowed down to be like, no, we are expanding this road, who knows.
Yeah, I mean, that's something where going back through the history of the city, like that's adding a level of complexity of like, because there is like a logical process to the way that these things build up, so like yeah, it's hard to give a direct straight answer on that, from where it's like, no, either of that those work. It would just be that choice of like how you almost need to tell the history from that point of like it's a small settlement and then this element arrived, and then this event occurred, and then this political faction formed, and then they built up in this area, and like all of these things spin out like over time in such a way where like pointing at a city, and then I think this is like what we're finding to some extent is like to imagine a fully formed city and then just point at places and going, this is how it connects, and intuitively have it. It's like we can talk in broad strokes, but at some point I suppose it would be that factor of like, yeah, we've got to figure out exactly the ABC events.
Yeah, like, because I mean, cities don't work, they don't get plopped down in, you know, fully formed in that. I mean, even where we live, which is mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's not officially a city, but it's a pretty big sort of urban area, really. I think actually it's one of the biggest non-city urban areas in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's really made up of what used to be a lot of small towns and villages that have filled in. Sort of, so you've got like, well, areas like Winton and Charminster and Mordown. Now they're just like, oh, that's the next main street over. But they used to be their own little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's kind of how cities get made.
So the gaps in between places get filled in, don't they?
It wasn't plopped down of like, okay, we're going to make a new district here. I mean, this isn't city skylines or anything like that. Yeah.
But that was coming to mind as we were kind of, as you were talking about, like needing to draw a map and stuff, that like the difficulty of doing that, like that's a game. There's entire activities that are designed entirely around killing your time,
yeah,
making a big city. I suppose you'd just have infinite funds instead and just, it would be a map painter.
Yeah, play it on sandbox mode and just build stuff up. But then again, I need it to be like a kind of fantasy thing. That's a gap in the market, isn't it? Fantasy city builder, I suppose.
Mm, yeah. Oh, I wish that existed now you've said it.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose things like The Settlers is kind of
that's,
maybe a little
that's
bit.
About as close as it gets, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, those are my kind of ones that, again, I don't want to say set in stone, but like we've got the Overlook District with the palace, and sort of at the foot of that, we've got the Temple District, and either side of that, the Ascension Spires and the University. As a kind of like, here's the seats of learning and worship at the foot of the, you know, the important people kind of thing. It sounds awful now I've said it, but yeah.
It's the natural structure of human society for the most part. This yeah. is the way people fall in line.
Yeah. And then sort of coming off of that, we've got the Square of Heroes sort of a little ways off. I'm imagining all of these have got just regular buildings kind of in between them and things, you know.
Yeah, they'd be scattered. Normal folks, people of different trades. There's so many different aspects going running of a city.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll throw out a few other names then of places I've got. There's a couple of ones that are sort of more on the coastal side of things. I have the Whispershore Docks, which we said about it being like a kind of trading hub, you know, and it being on the sea, that's a big part of it. But also, like, there's quite a, in my head, there's sort of quite a large sort of, this is sort of like a, I don't know, sort of seafront kind of docklands kind of area, you know, there's all these kind of moorings and things and that, and, you know, I'd say the fishing industry and such. But then everything that comes along with that, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of longshoremen carrying things around.
Yeah, so even coming back from the seafront itself, you've got everything that comes along with maritime stuff, so... warehouses and industrial things and sailors' inns and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, lodgings and stuff for traders and things, and and sort of as an aside to that, the other one I've got named is the Swiftwind Naval Yards. So it's kind of like you've got the public docks, and then off to the one side the heavily fortified, like, no, this is the Navy's area. Everybody else fuck off. Kind of like,
that's probably going to have like the biggest structure in the district kind of a thing, where they'd be building like the fleet ships or repairing fleet ships and that kind of stuff.
For sure, yeah. There's like dry docks and things like that. And yeah, but that would be sort of a fortified, it almost its own kind of mini, it would have its own defensive wall around it and things.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point I'd kind of said that the whole city, these different districts were like, The central city was within its own, you know, we got the big defensive wall around the whole area. Then the central city has its own kind of defensive wall. And at one point I was thinking like, oh, the individual districts, you'd be going from like one to another through these other little walls, like honeycombs and stuff. But I think that's...
That would beg questions of the history of the city again, in terms of like, there could be a fun reason, well, not necessarily a fun reason, but a logical historical reason for it to have occurred, where these would have been, maybe there was a point of very powerful political dissent in all directions, and parts of the city started to section themselves off. There was paranoia rife in the streets. Nobody trusted anybody. Everybody going off into these little groups, and they all built walls around them. And something resolved that, but they're still there, and the walls can serve a purpose to some extent. But yeah, maybe that could be a reason why these things could exist.
I'm just looking at my page, actually, and it turns out that past me actually thought about this. So here's what I'd written. This is as written by past me at some date, which sort of makes sense. Within the city, individual districts are enclosed by defensive walls. In the event of invasion, this allows the city's defenders to slow the advance of invading forces significantly. Because they're sort of having to go from... They've got another thing to break through. They've got to get through yet another wall to get to... You know, so by the time you're trying to get up to like the palace, you've had to essentially do a whole bunch of sieges, sort of thing.
A classic medieval fortress design, ultimately, yeah. Like the many layered defense. That's exactly how it would be done.
Yeah. So I've put these particular defensive measures were strengthened in the wake of the Panacea War, which we talked about before on another episode a couple of years back, as the victorious Queen Violet Anaren, who had led her forces through a successful invasion of the city, made it one of her first priorities to avoid a repetition of her own strategy against her. I think that sort of makes sense. Like she's got in. They've invaded through the main outer curtain wall. They've invaded through the central curtain wall, and then she was almost able to then sweep straight up into the palace. And she's gone, well, fuck, I don't want that to happen to me. Let's. So going back at this point, like a couple of hundred years before where we are now, maybe these districts didn't used to be like subdivided like this. Like this was all put in fairly recently, it's been a couple of hundred years, but like as a sort of like, nope, this is, I mean, it makes sense for as a defensive measure, and it has come into play against like outer threats, like maybe it did in the Demon War. I haven't written an event for that, but like this was put in almost as like a self-defense thing of like, we don't want that to happen again, but it is actually a good strategy of like, no, this is going to make it harder for people to invade the city, sort of thing. Yeah. Apparently past me thought about it, but yeah.
There we go then.
Yeah.
There is some logic.
There is. I would think those, most times though, the gates between the districts are pretty well just like permanently open, I think.
Yeah. It might be the kind of thing where for maybe one or two of them, maybe these are areas held by like particular guilds or something, so it might be a good checkpoint for them to make sure it's guild members coming in and out, but yeah, maybe nothing beyond that.
It could be like this is actually maybe used to enforce the like not letting people who aren't servants or very rich people go into the Overlook District. Sort of thing. You know, you don't want everybody kind of just wandering around amongst all these like rich people houses. Sort of that, at least that from their point of view, they're like, well, no, okay, we've put guards on this gate, we don't want just anybody walking up.
Don't have the hoi polloi,
yeah. I can definitely see that being a thing. So I'm kind of, this is sort of forming this view in my mind of the city as kind of like a honeycomb of these like locked off little districts. And I'm thinking again, it's a big city, so there's going to be lots of ones that aren't the only, you know, that aren't sort of named now. The only ones I've got named are ones that I had a sort of specific idea in mind for, of like, this is where this is, this is where this is, this, you know, whereas we can sort of incorporate, I think, the idea of like, well, no, this was like a smaller village, and this is, you know, and it's just become a part of the city. Mm-hmm. And then has been like, you know, sealed off within its own little wall kind of thing. But like the idea of like a city of like of honeycomb, basically, you know, and I'm, you know, not necessarily you know, regular pattern of, you know, shapes or anything. It's not like it's not been made to fit in, you know, they haven't like gone, no, we're driving a wall through your building, sorry, rule, you know, orders or whatever. They just have built these walls around the previously sort of previously existing vague subdivisions kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the one other idea I had of a kind of district that's included in the city is the Dream Glade, which I was kind of trying to... I think I started with an idea of, like, well, we need a place for, like, maybe the druids have, like, they've got their own kind of... It's essentially, it's a park, but it's, like, you step into it, and it's, like, you're suddenly, like, the noise of the city fades away, and nature is... It's a little bit more kind of mystical nature in this area more than anything. It's a sort of tended kind of, I don't know, sanctuary from sort of city life. But, you know, you're just on the other side of one of these internal walls, really. But, like, suddenly you step into this park and, like, oh, it's like I'm in the forest. And, yeah, sort of consistent level of low-level kind of mist. And it's, I say, called the Dream Glade. So it all feels a little bit like, a little bit otherworldly.
Sounds like a nice place to, yeah, like just get away and escape, like in the kind of a Central Park kind of a thing.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. But really, I got to it by thinking I need a place for druids to be. So maybe this is, I will recommend this to Kirik after your adventure in the Opera House concludes or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the only other sort of main idea I've had for the city.
Oh, wow, let me rack my brain then. Are we going to try and help? I'm trying to think of, like, what other elements would there be in the city necessarily? And how would they be organized? Or are there particular, like, professions that have a particular bunch of people with certain skills in them, that kind of stuff? I mean, yes, I suppose the university covers a lot of, like, the most learned people.
Yes.
And the highest levels of all of the trades.
We haven't really got, like, a strictly industrial sort of area, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
there's
maybe...
there's going to be somewhere producing clothes and buckets, and there's going to be a massive foundry area kind of a deal.
Yeah. A sort of... Here's where all the seamstresses are, like... I mean, perhaps...
It comes to mind straight away as you say that, and there's... And that means something different.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't mean it like that. I mean, no, I get one. It's a sort of like I feel like maybe there's like a kind of central, or at least a larger kind of marketplace. It'd be sort of like a trading hub type thing,
mm-hmm.
which would, I mean, this hangs together logically. Like, you know, we've already established in game that, like, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of trade, a lot of carts coming in constantly. They've got to be going somewhere.
Yeah.
Going to be plying their wares somewhere, so maybe there is this kind of big central sort of, there's a kind of marketplace, but there's all these warehouses, and then kind of on the around that you've got your sort of garment district and forge area, and I don't know, like, you know, that kind of thing. So sort of,
yeah,
raw materials come in, or, you know, saleable materials come in straight away, and This is the you know, financial kind of beating heart of the trade of the city kind of thing, is this major kind of area, you know, which you guys didn't really go to because you were like, you had a destination in mind, but a lot of the other traffic was going there to make, you know, make money.
That's it. The goods come into the central hub and then filter out kind of out into the city from there, whether it's raw materials going on to make new goods that might well then come back to the trading place again to be taken back out, or then filter back out, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and we can lean into some of the fantasy stereotypes a little bit with some of these. Like, if there's sort of a kind of like an enclave of dwarves where they've kind of re-established their own forge, which is over, you know, at first maybe it was a small group when this wasn't a city, and now it's a city, it's like, this is the, it's almost like the Dwarven Quarter kind of thing, where there's all, you know, as much as, you know, they are integrated into the rest of city society, there is this kind of like, well, no, come here to have stuff made, because there's all these Dwarven forges that are making this, anything you need they can make, and and they do, and they sell it and make the money. I mean, we've kind of established in other ones that there's the Dwarven Trading Guild are like a big thing. So it sort of makes sense that they've kind of made their own sort of little city within a city here to be like, well, no, there's a lot of money to be made here, so we're going to want a big presence here.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mark of the prosperity of that faction.
Yeah.
That, like, they've become quite dominant just in the space that they take.
Yeah, so they've almost got their own little kind of sort of dwarven district kind of thing, which is there's a lot of forges, there's a lot of like raw materials coming in and very well made goods going out, and yeah. And that would be close to like the sort of central kind of trading square.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking as well that some of these are kind of, you know, we want to, okay, I haven't got a sort of overall shape of the city is the thing, but I feel like this wouldn't be a million miles away from the docks as well, because you're going to want stuff coming in by sea and things.
Yeah. So maybe it's kind of off to the side, one of the sides of the city, so to speak, where you're going to have the central area where, I don't know, is that where maybe the Square of Heroes would be located? I think we'd said that it was kind of like that's the heart kind of the lower city, perhaps.
Yeah. This is again, it'd be real helpful if I had like a drawing I could point to. Do I have a drawing? Have I got, like, I mean, this is the thing, I'm looking at it now. Am I going to go into my folder and there's just going to be like a sketch from like a long time ago? I do have a Photoshop file that's called Valenay Map. Let's see what this is.
Oh. Have you forgotten work you've already done?
Is this whole episode been pointless? No, it hasn't, because this is barely a map, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just pulling up the main map and just kind of looking at the coastline a little bit to get some sense of how, or like where it could potentially go. And to look at the way that the roads lead into it, if it was on the western side, say that the, where that, not that these represent necessarily specific roads or anything through the land, but if we were to say that that kind of route that would take us out to the shoreline, everything to the left of that, the little hint of where the kind of hint of maybe buildings and stuff are on the map, that would be this area we're talking about, because that way it's got a good chunk of shoreline. It's separated by like major roadways, and like there's the traffic almost represents like that's the cutoff point on the other side of this is where the traders and all of the rest of that starts to like pick up pace, let's say.
Yeah. So I've sent you a JPEG of what that Photoshop file was.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, that's barely anything.
it's got at least like a wall, like one of the walls.
You can see that that's the outer wall. You can sort of see where they've got the coastline at the top. You can sort of see where Westgate comes in on the left-hand the road from Westgate comes in on the left-hand side. I'm not entirely sure if I'd meant for that square, that the one square there is, to be the Square of Heroes, but it very possibly could be.
I mean, it kind of makes sense with what we've said already, that would kind of be it. Although scale of this, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, listeners at home, this is barely a map. This is a few lines drawn, but it's kind of, essentially, I've drawn an outer curtain wall. There's a hint of an outline of the coastline, which isn't finished. There's a kind of hint of where I was going to be having the promontory coming up on the sort of top right-hand side. And there's a few kind of what I think are meant to be like main thoroughfares marked out, but that's pretty much it, really. I've attempted to start filling in buildings, but it's just a bunch of little scribbles. So yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe this is a file I need to go back to at some point. And yeah,
you've got a bare skeleton right now, and yeah, you could put some flesh on it.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry, to go back to that then, yeah, so the kind of having a sort of major sort of trading area kind of close to one of the main like thoroughfares out of the city. So maybe we put it on that road that comes in from Westgate, mm-hmm. and then it just joins, and there is like a big sort of, that's the market, the market area is the wrong name, but like it would have its own kind of name. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the trade hub.
The trade hub, yeah. We'll just shorthand call it the trade hub. Now, it comes in and there's the trade hub there, and then between that and the coast, there's the sort of warehouses and forges and mills and things, you know, factories. And then you've got the docks where there's other raw materials coming in. So it's sort of the kind of northwest whole kind of chunk of the city, really. Is kind of it's fairly industrial,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of the further east you go, you've got the obviously the land is raising up into the, you know, the plateau with the Overlook District and that on it. But it was it becomes less industrial and more kind of residential and such the further east you go.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I've gone into city builder mode here.
No, that's the exact logical kind of structure that I have in mind as well, where it's like you don't want to live near all the industrial stuff. There might be some people that are willing to do that just for short trips to work and
And I mean, there's going to be little workshops throughout the whole city, I think, as well. You know, this is, you know, workshops, shops, all this kind of thing. You know, there's going to be stables. It's a whole city, basically. You know, it's not going to be like all of the jobs are in one bit and everybody, the rest of it is just houses. That doesn't work. That's not how things work. But yeah, there's like a, I think just a concentration around the kind of trade hub. And then it goes back to a sort of more kind of low level, like you go, oh, just go around the corner. There's a blacksmith or something for the rest of it. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to put that on a map. I probably don't even need to put that on a map, but like so much as like marking out like different kind of, I don't know, marking out the district boundaries. I think I need to add to this, like, again, as I say, very crude map at the moment. Because I think I must have done this before I decided there would be the internal sort of subdivisions, but and I probably need to mess around with the scale of it a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's coming together though. Like,
yeah, I think just kind of talking it out like this though is sort of, it's got some ideas flowing a little bit in terms of like, okay, this would be, yeah, this is where we're going to go from go from here with this kind of plan. I think
that's it. It is establishing that logical structure. I think that the trade is kind of the baseline of keeping a city alive, and yeah, getting that in place, and now we're having an idea of where other people are in relation to things.
Mm.
It'll be easier when we're in game for you to probably be like, okay, like where do you want to go, and have a direct idea of like, right, it's in that direction.
Yeah, because at the moment I feel like I feel like we've been building up to a little bit of a sort of, I don't want to say conclusion, but like a little bit of a kind of, well, potentially conclusion for this little sort of mini story we've been running on. And it's all going down in the Opera House. So it's possible we could, you know, we could finish the story without leaving the building. So I feel like having a whole map of the city is maybe not the most urgent right now. But on the other hand, who knows where it's going to go, because every time I plan these things, it always goes sideways. So,
well, that's it. And even if we do like finish up events, it's in the Opera House, and that's kind of where it comes to a logical conclusion. That's where we'll be leaving the characters.
Yeah.
So if we do come back to them, then there's opportunity for, well, what we maybe we just walk straight out the door and the next thing happens.
Mm.
Or we stay in the city and we can talk about like the, which district did everybody go to, and then that might be that opportunity for Kirik to go off to see the Druids Grove and all the rest of that.
For sure, yeah, definitely. And having some directions for that, I don't think is a bad thing at all. Okay, well, we're sort of around about the hour long mark of this. Did you have any kind of final things you wanted to sort of, any ideas you wanted to kick in while we're at this point? I know we haven't really added too much. It's more just been a kind of discussion of what I already had sort of planned on this one. But I think, you know, just my whole idea behind this episode was like, well, we haven't really, well, one, we haven't done a world building episode in a long time, but two, we haven't really just sort of discussed the capital that much. You know, I've kind of written stuff on the World Anvil page, but then not really kind of, we haven't really talked about it.
Off the top of my head, not really, but I mean, I'm mostly just enjoying, like, I like the approach of just trying to like feel out what could have happened in these places, and that we've got some established events and sort of like factions and all that kind of stuff, and then trying to rearrange the puzzle pieces or see the missing ones that we could slot into place. I just like the process, so always fun.
Yeah Well, I mean, even as far as like we just briefly touched on like, oh, there's the docks and then there's the Navy thing. I feel like that would be a thing that like you can see this as like an earlier on in history. There was like, you know, there was a small fishing village and that expanded into like docks. And then at a certain point they were like, we need some military ships. We'll build them here. And then that became, oh, we don't want any of these people around. We'll just wall off this area. And then that's basically expanded into, now there's a fortress. There's a Navy fortress in the city. kind of thing alongside these, you know, civilian busy docks kind of thing. And yeah.
Yeah, it'd be the kind of thing where there might be little hints and remnants of the past. Like there might be like within those walls, as much as it's a militarized area, regimented, like there could be like an officer's drinking club that's like,
oh, yeah,
this was an old bar. That was the village pub once upon a time.
Mm.
And it doesn't serve a function anymore, but it's the same building. Like.
There's people who live and work in there who aren't part of the Navy kind of thing. But like in general, there are these like off limits kind of dockyards and, you know, official buildings and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in my head, that is kind of towards the like the eastern end of the kind of coastline air section. To almost be like, no, we are closer to the palace because the king might need quick access to the Navy sort of thing. I don't know. Just sort of little subtle things like that, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
even if we get sort of saying like, oh, well, back in the day they're doing this, you know, they would be building the military stuff closer to the chief's residence,
yeah.
You know, because they're building
it
for him.
He's going to want to oversee it as well, probably. Yeah. So yeah, there's multiple reasons for that to happen.
Yeah. We're not just throwing stuff at a map and hoping it sticks. It hangs together logically, honest. But I'm happy with it. And I think this is a map file I do want to actually come back to and kind of do some more work on, because I think it needs some adjustments probably in scale and things. But it's a good starting point, I think. I'm just looking at the file things. Created it on the 21st of December 2017. Last modified 16th of March 2018. That was the last time I looked at this map file.
It's been a while ago.
It's been a while. And like it looks like it as well, because there's nothing to it. But yeah. but yeah, okay. Well, I think that's maybe a fun point to bring this to a close. I think at some point once I've got a map to post, I will post it. But for now, people can go to our World Anvil page. There is a link to it on pretendingwithdice.com. So you can head straight there, get into it, learn more about our custom D&D setting. And this has been good. I want to get back into doing more kind of bonus episodes again and doing more world building stuff, because it is fun and that. And obviously we've been doing D&D recently. We're currently gearing up for season 2 of Frontier Star Trek, so that's not going to have world building episodes. Nope. So I think dipping out once in a while and just checking in with the D&D setting, I think it's maybe something would be fun to do.
But, totally, and yeah. I'm always interested to hear what the rest of the cast and anybody else that you get on like has to add to it, so that like in future episodes, like certain elements come up and it's like, oh, that's their idea, and how are you taking it and running with it kind of thing. Like, it always fun to see.
I think we'll call that to a close there then. I think as it stands, we should be back in 2 weeks time. That would be Thursday the 28th of March for potentially the conclusion of our current D&D story, but we'll see how that goes. Actually, you know what, let's fully peek behind the curtain here for everybody. The reason we got a world winning one today is we unfortunately had to postpone our recording session of what would have been today's D&D episode. So we are yet to record that of a potential finale for D&D, so we don't know what happens yet. So stay tuned. We're looking forward to it as much, if not more, than all of you. Anyway, D&D, hopefully 2 weeks time. I didn't want to miss another release date. I know we've been a bit rubbish with that recently for having to push stuff back, and I didn't want to do that again. So hence today.
We just filled the gap.
Yeah,
literally. That's what we've been.
That's
doing
what we've done.
During the conversation.
We're filling in the gaps on the map. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back, I'd say, in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you can head to pretendingwithdice.com. There's links to all of our online stuff. Got our social media pages, our Discord server, Ko-fi page. If you feel like you've been enjoying what we've been doing and want to chuck us a few of your old currency coins, it's much appreciated. Will help us keep the lights on and whatnot. It's also our merch store. You can go on there. We've got I feel like I don't push that very much, but yeah, we do have some merch on there that I've been told is very good by the people who've managed to get hold of it. I got myself a very nice Pretending with Dice 5th anniversary water bottle last summer, and I can recommend. I ought to be pushing that a bit more. But There's other stuff on there as well. There's some links to our direct feeds for the podcast and stuff. So if you've somehow stumbled along this without actually subscribing, head to your podcast provider of choice and hit that subscribe button. But
until next time, I guess.
Yeah, until next time. I feel like I'm just petering out there to nothing. But yeah, we'll see you all next time. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.